Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yank. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of In the Chains. As always, on the tee tonight, we have Monsieur Bowen.
Undefeated, 100% record, still intact. Good evening. Good evening. And on the other side, we have Mr. Josh Birmingham. Sorry, for some reason, this is why I can't do intros. I thought you were going to say Josh Birmingham. We have Josh Birmingham.
I should have went with it. I felt that. And I paused and lost the moment. But, yeah, it's just the two of us tonight, as you've heard. But since we've been blabbing, why don't we just get into what you did this weekend? Or at least the tournament this weekend.
Okay, so I played in the Essex Open, brought to you by DGA and the Amside podcast, Rob and Dale, nearly forgot his name there. I have to say, amazing tournament. They've changed Essex. Some of the holes look familiar, but like a lot of them, instead of throwing to the basket, you're throwing the opposite way up, as if from basket to tee. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard it. And they've reversed.
It's sort of some holes have reversed, some have been removed, and there are some new holes as well. I really liked the course. Saturday.
Wait, which holes? Round. You said some holes are the same. Are they a different number in the lineup, but still that hole exists?
No, I'd say, to be honest, nothing is the same.
Okay.
But instead of playing down, you know, the road hole, you play up from the road up the hill now. The one after, it would have been what number would it have been? I don't even know. But yeah. You know, the one before, if you played Essex, haven't you? Before you went out to the bit that just seemed to go out to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It go down by the nursery. So it was before the road hole, it was like a skippy forehand round. You play up into them trees, up where old 17 and 18 are. You play around that sort of area, some of them the opposite way. But yeah, everyone was moaning that it was really hard, Josh. But I didn't like, we'll talk about what I scored in a bit, but I didn't think it was mega hard. I thought it was, there were definitely some hard elements to it.
Yeah,
but I said to someone, I think that the old layout was harder, and I know it's been a year since I played it, but I definitely felt like it wasn't as hard as people were saying.
Yeah, maybe it's just because it's new, people are thinking it's hard, but the scores didn't look, I mean, the ratings looked good for the scores, so the scores looked tough, at least for the field in general.
Maybe I was just the outlier.
Yeah, maybe it didn't bother you.
Because I played 60 points above my rating for the weekend.
I was falling.
At one point, I was tied sixth, like in MA3, and I was like, I was having a moment like, is this really happening, or is this, like, I couldn't get onto the finals because they were four or five shots ahead at that point.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, could I be like first loser, pretty much? Like, could I be? Like, and I was thinking, yeah, it didn't transpire like a lad on our card, because I was on chase card, something I've never experienced.
Nice.
And like something else I've not experienced, although I was all my cards are great all weekend, amazing. I was sort of thinking, right, I'm in a sort of competition here. I'm going up against you. Like, I wasn't like horrible to anyone. I wasn't trying to like mess with anyone, but there was me.
It's a different vibe.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, as we still had fun, but I'm still thinking, instead of me normally not giving a shit what's going on, right, he's just got a bogey here and I've got a par. Oh, I know what I need to do here. But a lad got a throw in Darren, who came sixth, got a throw in on one of the last holes that we played, two, three before the last hole. And he was four shots ahead then. So then it was like, well, I can't really do anything now.
Yeah.
Like, without someone making a big cock up.
Yeah. That's good, though, man. I saw you and Dale were pretty close in score most of the weekend, right?
Yeah, so I played with Dale, and he beat me by, I think, four shots he beat me by in the first round. He had a really good first round. And then...
And he's had practice.
And then the second round, I beat him by a couple of shots. And then the second round, might add, was absolutely miserable. Like, the first round was quite hot and humid. Wasn't that sunny. The second round, rain for 4 hours solid. It's a long course, and people getting caught up. It wasn't anyone's fault. It was just tournament play. And it was horrendous. It was literally just rained the whole time.
How long were the rounds?
It didn't affect me too bad. How long were the rounds? Yeah. 4 hours.
Yeah.
About 4 hours.
Yeah.
And like, I have to say, every card I was on, we were pretty good, like, all weekend. But like, we were quite quick. But then we'd get caught up, and it wouldn't just be the card in front, it'd be the card in front of that. And I think a lot of it had to do, because it's quite, we had spotters on a lot of holes.
Yeah.
But discs were still being lost, and I think people weren't being regimented with the 2-minute rule.
Yeah, and so when you had the long grass like that, kind of, I guess, in the fairway, so to speak, it can be pretty annoying. And you don't want to give up a disc and a stroke and have to re-tee if you've had a decent shot in what you think's the fairway. But yeah, you got to bite the bullet sometimes.
Sometimes you just got to say what's done is done. Like,
yeah.
And the only time I can remember where we spent a considerable amount of time was Tom Potter threw one in a big oak tree, and we were sheltering under the oak tree because it was really torrential at this point. But we were waiting for a card, the card in front, to finish a hole. It was a par four, and I spent probably 10 minutes throwing I think it was a hockey ball up to try and knock this disc out.
Yeah.
I hit it 5 times with the ball, and it still did. And on like the fifth attempt, it dropped out, but it was a belligerent little fucker up there. It was like,
it's a nice feeling when that happens, and you don't have anywhere to be.
Yes, exactly.
It's like bonus.
But otherwise, it was absolutely shitting it down. It wasn't, I wouldn't even say pissing it down, it was shitting it down. But apart from that, I could just concentrate on something else for a little bit. I've got something to tell you that on the first round, I took an umbrella out with me. Wasn't my umbrella, was it? It was Duffy's big umbrella.
Oh.
He doesn't know about this. It didn't rain at all the first round. Have a guess what I did with his umbrella.
You left it on one of the tees.
I left it on one of the tees, didn't I? I haven't.
Every umbrella I've ever taken to play disc golf has just been left on a tee somewhere.
I haven't told him this. And I was like, shit. He doesn't know I borrowed it. He just left it in my van from like Quarry Park a couple of weeks ago. I'm gonna have to explain to him that his umbrella's disappeared.
Here's what you do. You see if he listens to the show. If he doesn't ask about it until like Thursday, just see if he brings it up after Thursday.
Well, someone handed it in, so we were all right.
Ah, what kind of, what, is it a nice one?
It's an MVP one, and it is absolutely massive as well.
Yeah.
It's another lad had like a Latitude one, and the MVP one's like twice the size of it. But that came in useful in the second round, and I took it back with me because I used it every single hole, to be fair there.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how much an umbrella makes a difference, isn't it?
Yeah, huge. And I mean, I even like them when it's super sunny and hot. I just keep it on, yeah, keep the sun off. Yeah, but I'm ginger, so I'll die.
I catch the sun really badly there. I'm still red. Can you see how red I am from the weekend? There wasn't any sun. And
when it's overcast like that, though, you don't realise that you're getting sun.
You don't realise. But I wore my floppy hat so that... And imagine how bad it would have been.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's a good all-round weekend. I shot all right. I was happy with how I shot. I shot under bogey golf. For the first round. The second round I scored 19 over. Let's have a look. So the first round I scored 14 over, which I was happy with. The second round I scored 19 over. That was weather. And then the third round I scored 13 over. So I was quite happy with that. Looking at some of the names, they're people that I wouldn't normally ever dream of beating. Like, so I was quite happy with that. Yes, there wasn't an MA4. Everyone was in MA3. So, really, I'd have probably... I might have won MA4 if there was an MA4. Then again, I might not have. It just depends what people enter.
Yeah, and then you're in a different headspace as well.
Exactly. Do you know what? And I became a bit of a joke by the end of the weekend.
What?
What was the main shot I played for drives?
Thumber. Every time.
Tilt roller.
Oh, yeah. I did see some of that in the chat. You tried an overhand shot over the water or something?
No, that was just Dale messing.
Because you did it so often.
Yeah, exactly. That was the only shot I didn't try. That was the only hole I didn't try one on. But the... It was so, like, the fairways, it was like cut like at Quarry Park. If you could keep it in the fairways, you were sound.
Yeah.
And I tried it a couple of times and it was great. So I thought, why not stick with it? This is brilliant. And it obviously worked because I shot 60 points better than my rating.
Yeah. You just played safe, yeah.
I have to say... My approach game was the best bit, and my putting, I didn't miss many stupid putts. There's got to be a reason for that, and it's Penroses. They are a great putter.
See, I'm telling you, I wanted to like them, I gave them a shot, they're great.
They are great, they feel nice, and they travel well, and they've got, I find them glidey, I do.
Glidey with... a bit of fade, so you know they're going to kind of move left, but they're going to stay up.
Yeah, I got on really well with them. And the late gap is, they've changed the late gap. There's a exit route on the right hand side because you're coming across the opposite way.
Yeah.
And it's about 65 meters, and there's a drop zone. If you want to be a big boy and go across the lake, it's like 90 meters, I'd say.
Okay.
I used two discs the first time. That I used a Boss for the first round, one that I never throw, and it went in the water. It got probably 10 meters short, but it went in the water. I threw a Thunderbird the second round on a forehand, and it did a somersault in the air and dumped off halfway across.
Oh, no.
I looked in my box of spare discs, and I had a Castoplast Stahl, which is basically a Firebird. So I thought, I'll forehand that across.
That'll hold,
I made it across in the third round. So yeah, everyone was like, you're going forehand on that, you'll never get it over. I'm like, I will, don't worry. I literally only just made it over, but I made it over.
With a disc you hadn't thrown much, I would assume.
Yeah, well, I knew what it did. Yeah. I knew it was like a Firebird, so. But yeah, so. Yeah, that was it. I don't know what really else to say. I don't want to talk too much about me. It was a good tournament. I played really well for me. I don't think I could have done much better. I mean, the thing is, Josh, I didn't have any blow up holes where I did. I had a couple of doubles over the weekend,
yeah,
but I didn't. There's a bit more. There are a lot of pars and a lot of bogeys, which is good for me. And it just sort of, yeah, it was all wrong.
Well, you are better than other podcast people in the UK.
He had a lot to think about. He was running the tournament.
Is that what he was telling you? This is the excuses you're
getting. No. He hasn't said any of that. I'm just quite, I don't want to be one of these. Yeah, I smashed Dale. Realistically.
You guys are real friends now.
We're real friends.
Oh my God.
He's a top lad. He is a top lad.
What happened?
I don't know. A charm offensive from him, I think.
It's like a classic rom-com story, you know? Two guys.
Mortal enemies become lovers.
I think we better restart the Zoom. Since Duffy's not here, we don't have the luxury of just plowing through a show. We've got to get off, get back on, because we don't pay for Zoom.
I like how we put that in, so let's do that. Right, I'll reconvene in a minute.
All right.
It won't let me start another meeting for 9 minutes. Can you start one?
Yeah, let me see.
That was annoying, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know. We've been living that sweet life. That sweet, sweet Teams life.
It seems that Zoom has figured out our glitch as well, because it wouldn't let me start a meeting for another 10 minutes, so... there goes that.
That's all right. We've outsmarted them this time.
Exactly. Going back to what I was saying, I'm still mortal enemies with Rob, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, well...
And I sabotaged him for the Saturday.
Wait, how did... Rob doesn't even play MA3, so what am I talking about?
He did well on the Sunday. He didn't do as well on the Saturday, and I'm going to tie that down to...
He shot 12 strokes better.
Ended up sharing a room for about 2 hours until my snoring was that bad, he had to go and sleep on the sofa. And I planned that on purpose.
Yeah. He was only a few strokes out of getting into the final.
Yes, he was, but unfortunately he didn't have the best Saturday. And again, I'd chalk that down to me interrupting his sleep patterns, and also he had a lot to think about. Like, the lads ran a class tournament. They gave you bottles of water. The disc that I chose when I got there looks really good. I can't remember. I've been calling it the DGA Firebird because I don't know the name of it, but it's a flat top Firebird equivalent. It could be like a Raptor, to be fair, because some of them are quite flat top.
Just as stable.
So I'm going to get it out and see what it does. I think it could be a good one for me.
Hopefully they saved some or have some left over. Of any type of mold.
I don't know if they do, to be honest. Like, they were quite popular.
Well, if Dale is a man of his word, and I know he is, he'll come through with a frisbee.
Now you've put it out there in the public forum, he's going to look so stupid if he doesn't.
Well, that's...
He has to.
Yeah.
He has to.
So, yeah, it sounded like it was good. I had a lot of friends that went, you guys, and And yeah, I heard good things about the course. I heard it was hard. I heard the rain sucked on Saturday. But otherwise, everyone had a great time.
I think it. Yeah, I think everyone did. It did seem like everyone was having a good time. Morale was down on the Saturday afternoon, but that wasn't anyone's fault. It was the shocking weather. Apart from that, seemed really good. Everyone seemed happy.
Yeah. All right. Well.
So yeah, what you been up to then? You played any disc golf?
I played a little bit. I did a round with Dan Ryan and Sam Stevens on Sunday. Just a little,
okay,
little classic OG Croydon round. Just for funds. Sunday service is over, so I'm not running that at the moment. But I think I'm going to start either a random draw doubles or a non-sanctioned singles thing, but with all the side action of like CTPs and best scores and stuff, because I like the money making aspect of it.
I knew you'd say that. I like a the typical MPO, ain't you?
I like the gambling. That's my that's my poker fix.
Josh, do you have a problem?
No, I don't have a problem. It's only a problem if you say it's a problem.
I like that.
It's not a problem. Yeah, my friend used to say, alcohol is a solution.
Is it also the problem, though?
But it's a solution in its chemical makeup.
Okay, okay. I see what you mean.
Alcohol
yes, okay.
is a solution.
Yes, yes. So. That's science.
Yeah. I mean,
science, baby.
That's what he would tell his mom when she said she was worried about him.
That's what you learn in the woods, isn't it? Out in the deep south. That's yeah. what you learn.
Yeah, man. Run and shine.
I was about to say, did you ever encounter any moonshiners?
Oh, yeah. My favorite experience running into a moonshiner was just like in the parking lot of like this redneck bar we were at. And the guy had like six flavors in the trunk and he's like, I can't remember his name. It was something like, you know, Squirrel or some backwoods like nickname. I can't remember. Oh, it'll come back to me. But anyway, yeah, they're so like proud of their product that like they'll just force you to drink. You know, something try it. Like, oh, that's so smooth, isn't it? I've got peach right here. I've got strawberry here. Oh, it's so good.
Was he wearing dungarees?
He might have been, to be honest with you. but yeah, no, it's moonshine. It's a real thing.
It's not illegal anymore, though, is it?
Well, they sell it. And you have to have a license to make it and sell it. So technically, it would all be illegal if they're not licensed.
Ah, okay, okay. Because I'm sure I saw a crappy documentary about moonshiners in the woods, like on History Channel or something. I used to like Gold Rush. That's the one I liked.
Yeah.
I went into moonshiners.
All that stuff staged for sure, though, on those shows.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah. It's all staged. It's like drama out of nowhere, and you know, because the music suddenly changes and gets all intense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure they could make a documentary about my day at work, and they could put as much drama into it when nothing really. Ah, I told you about this drama did happen the other day.
What's that?
I thought I was literally sat at my desk with my head in my hands, about to cry. I got an email from someone I've been dealing with. I've spoken to them before, and it was a Dropbox link. And I clicked on it, it said you need to sign in to open it. Tried putting in my password three times, and it wouldn't let me in. So I thought I'll leave it for today. I'll have a word with our IT people because they're external. Like, and anyway, I got sidetracked. I emailed them in the morning to say, I don't think your Dropbox link is working, the people who emailed me. I got an email back about literally about 5 minutes later saying, we had our emails hacked yesterday. And they've been sending and receiving. And I thought, So I just hung my head and, like, I was nearly in tears because I thought, I've bankrupted the company here. The company's going to go under. Anyway, IT came on and it was all fine. But, like, I've never been done like that before, Josh. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, I guess they probably didn't get anything out of it, though.
They didn't. Probably because I was entering the wrong password. So. Yeah.
If you got in, maybe they were, like, linked to your computer or something.
Yeah, so they could be listening to us right now.
Oh, man, they're paying the price, though.
They'll probably say, we'll leave this bloke alone. He sounds like a right nut job.
Yeah.
He sounds unhinged. Just waffles crap.
Well, they haven't heard you're the hardest man in disc golf, so.
Exactly.
They should be afraid. Exactly. If you're listening, be afraid.
Be afraid. I lent Matt Lee a Firebird, a Star Firebird, because he I don't know what he'd done. He'd left one of his at home. To be fair, I still haven't got it back off him. I've got another bone to pick with Dale. I lent him my umbrella, and I haven't received that back yet. So he's got my In the Chains umbrella. And Matt borrowed a Firebird.
Clearly a superior umbrella, and that's why he's held onto it.
Well, I didn't see any Amside ones, let's put it that way.
Mm. Yeah. Matt Lee, if you're listening, be afraid.
I lent him a Firebird. I haven't received it back. And I didn't. He had my blessing to do this. Around the rim, he wrote, Bowen is the hardest man in disc golf around the rim in permanent pair.
Beautiful. That's amazing.
So, yeah, there's that. But, yeah. I just seem to be waffling crap now. Did you win at Croydon?
We didn't actually keep scores.
Oh, it was that casual.
It was cash. At one point, I tried to check scores like 5 or 6 holes in because I'd missed a birdie putt on a short hole. And I was like, I need to know what's going on here. And Dan just said, it's cash. Don't worry about it. And I was like, but I want to worry about it because I want to beat you. He was a bit sickly though, so it would have been taken advantage of, you know, of him if I did.
If he wasn't sick, would he have wanted to score?
Maybe.
I think that's on him, not on you.
Yeah. He was definitely afraid.
Who wouldn't be?
Sam Stevens was out, and before we even started, he was like, I don't want to play. He made like...
Why did he...
Smashed it.
Why did he turn up and say... Why did he turn up to the course and then decide he didn't want to play?
Well, you know, it's like he probably made the plan the night before. Thinking, this will be a great idea. I'll go play some golf in the morning with the boys. And then gets there and he's just feeling like crap. But he said he didn't want to play, but really, he didn't mean it. You know, he's just moaning. So we started...
Oh, he was lulling you into a false sense of security, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, and I end up losing another DD3.
How many is that now?
I've lost count. It wasn't even a bad shot. It was actually... Looked like it was about to be the best shot on 14 I've ever thrown. It just hyzered a bit too much across the path. And... It's just the rough so thick. It's probably not a meter off the path, but you just can't see it.
Let me throw it out to you. That obviously means a DD3 isn't the right disc for you.
Because they don't stay in the bag. Is that what you're saying?
Because they don't stay in the bag. They find themselves lost.
I know. Well, so on 14, I've got that one I've just lost. And that was the backup to the white one I lost at the Cyclone on hole 16. So those two discs are probably no more than 100 feet away from each other right now. But the one on 16 at Cyclone was literally in the fairway. It just dug itself into the grass. And
will it ever turn off?
I had to re-tee and take a stroke on like the hardest hole in the course. I still bogeyed it, which was great.
That's annoying. But that's class, to be fair.
Yeah, I had like a 60-foot putt to save bogey.
And you got it in.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like you're so frustrated, you just slam it at the basket and you have no
put all your anger
into
it. Yeah,
you have no fear of it going past it, so you just actually make a good putt. So that was cool.
And then you feel like a god then, don't you?
Yeah, for a bogey. But anyway, yeah, to the point is, DD3s and I don't seem... like, I throw them really well, I think. Maybe I'm just wrong about the whole thing. Maybe you're right.
Is it the most overstable driver that Discmania do?
No, that's kind of their straight, kind of neutral driver, I would say.
What's more overstable?
The PD2.
The PD2.
It's like,
see, I don't know with Discmania which disc, because I don't really throw them. I don't really know what their discs. I know the FD is straight. The FD3 is the old Doombird. That's overstable, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just thought the DD3 would be overstable if the FD's overstable.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
So this is interesting to this DD3 conversation. So I've lost every Cloudbreaker I've bought, just about. I've sold 2 out of like the 10 that I've had. And so I've lost my 2 stock run DD3s recently. But someone just gave me a Cloudbreaker 3 for free.
Who was that?
It was a lady by the name of Helen, who's just started playing with her partner in Croydon. And they found it on the course, brand new, no name, no number, posted it on the Croydon page. No one's responded. So she's just had it. And she's like, I can't throw it. Do you want it? And I didn't tell her about my curse. I just, my eyes got really big and I couldn't resist. So if anyone's listening, actually, you know what? I can't say that because someone would just lie and say they lost a Cloudbreaker.
It's yours now, Josh.
It's mine.
Possession's 9/10 of the law.
If you can tell me the color of the stamp, I will return it to you.
No.
But I shouldn't because you didn't put your name in it.
Exactly. I lost a Mantis at... oh, what was it? Was it Noah Smithson's tournament? Could have been our own. Could have been the UPO. I lost a Mantis and I didn't put my name in it. And it was brand new, never been returned.
I don't know. I feel like as of late, more discs are not being returned than like normal.
I agree.
And I always put my name and number in them. If I don't, I don't expect them back. But I've lost a fair bit of discs because long grass in summertime, it just tends to happen more and more. But it just seems like they're not coming back. Maybe they're still lost. But
it could be that the muggles are picking them up and just playing with them.
I would rather...
maybe that's how Helen and... Sorry.
I was going to say, I would just rather that be the truth. That would actually be fun to know that happens.
Maybe that's how Helen and her partner got into disc golf. They found one, kept it, and it could have been one of yours. And now they're into disc golf, which I don't think is... it's a noble cause, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, but I should probably just start leaving, like... Sidewinders and rocks instead of TD3s and Firebirds.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But to be fair, are you a proper disc golfer if you can't throw a Firebird?
I don't think... oh man, if I had to throw... like, a Firebird was my only disc when I first started, I might have either injured myself or quit like pretty soon after I started. Maybe not.
I don't...
maybe I was just flexed everything over at like 45 degrees.
I can't throw anything backhand. I can't throw a Firebird backhand, but I'm not the best player in the world, but I can throw one quite competently on a forehand. I don't think it's as hard as people make out.
I feel like... do you think most people throw Firebirds for forehands?
Yes.
I feel like I rarely throw mine for a backhand.
And you've got a lot more power and control than me.
I mean, I do use it backhand, but...
And I'll occasionally use one if I want to hook around something, but...
And, like, zones? Like, more overstable discs, I usually just use forehand.
I think that's what everyone does. I relied heavily at the weekend on Bergs and Pigs as well. That's what I used for my approach shots. I used the Zone OS a couple of times and the Zone a couple of times. But mostly it was the Pig. It was a Ricky Wysocki Blurple one. And that's a little less stable. And I used the Berg as well. They were my go-to discs.
It looked like... What hole is it at Essex that you and Dale have the photo where you're like laying on the tee pad? Is that the one down towards the lake? It's like a fairway, some trees in the middle, and then the two strips of cut grass right down the middle. Which might have been most of them.
I'd say Adam Keane took it, didn't he, and then tagged me as Duffy.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. He tagged me as Duffy. And someone actually put, that's not Duffy, that's Bowen. Right, yes, that was down to, no, yes, that was down towards the lake, yes. But, and that basket actually had a chance of rolling into the water. I had, that's the one, on the second round, my Berg rolled into the water, but it wasn't OB.
It was like half in.
It was half in. Oh, wow. And I thought if it's in, well, it had touched the bottom because it wasn't very deep, but it was still clinging onto the bank. And I thought that was OB. And I called everyone over and I said, that's inbound size.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'll take that.
Yeah. It looks sick. That hole looks really fun.
That one, so tilt roller, obviously, because it's cut a downhill. I took both routes to see which one was best. Not on the same round.
Yeah, yeah.
But the right side is better than the left side. But, like, look at that photo.
So good.
The course looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. I wanted to talk about this, actually. There was a par 5 there. The first time I've ever encountered a par 5. And it was long, Josh. I think it was 200... Oh, no. Cause it's a par 5 at Quarry Park as well, isn't it? The donut.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've encountered a par 5. How far is that one at Quarry Park?
I could tell you. It is... Oh, wait, no, I can't. Yeah, I can. Black Pro. Wait, it's not on Black Pro, is it?
I don't know what it would be on. Dun, 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 well, this dun, one dun, dun. Is 271 metres.
271, okay.
So, times that by 3 to get... 271 times 3. It's over 800 feet, that is.
Full black. Par 5. Oh, what's 788 feet? Damn it.
It's less. Right, so... 788 feet to metres.
That's not that far for a par 5.
240, that is.
Yeah.
And this one's 270, which is 885 foot.
I guess with the hazard at QP on that hole, it makes it a par 5 because you can't really go for it on the second shot unless you've played something way too aggressive off the tee.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So... This 271 was long, especially for us MA3 players. But I think the worst I did was a double on that. I think I bogeyed it twice, which to me felt like a par.
Yeah.
You'd probably get a birdie easy on it. But like to me, the first shot was sort of pinched off. there are trees either side, and then you've got to go round to the right, then it's just a long way down. Now, if you can get your first shot, let's say 100 metres down, you'd probably be able to, because it's downhill, like, as you get nearer the basket, you may even be able to eagle it, mate.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to get up there as soon as possible. How far is that from you?
It 3.5 hours.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. Maybe we should.
It's a long old one.
Maybe we should do a video soon.
We need to do a video soon, don't we?
Yeah. At Essex.
I could have another cheeky weekend away.
Maybe we have to do a shit winter one, but
I haven't told you yet, have I? I've signed up to some, I think it's, I don't know what tournament it is. Well, I haven't signed up to it yet, but me and Duffy are going up to Scotland in October.
Oh, that's there's a tournament in October there.
Yeah.
What's it called? We've played it. I've played it twice.
It's not the Scottish Open, is it?
I think it's the Blue Bet. No. I can't remember.
No, I can't either.
I've played it twice, and the weather is awful every time, but I still enjoy it.
That's the thing. Well, we're flying up as well, Josh. We're jet setters now.
What? That's annoying, though, isn't it?
What, flying up?
Because you have to go through security twice just for that small, like, bags. And I guess you're not checking bags, though, are you?
No, we're not checking bags. And it's better than driving 8 hours up there. 8 hours each way.
I know, but I guess the train's expensive, isn't it?
Oh, I'd never thought about the train. But then the train takes 8 hours as well.
No. It takes 4 from London.
Yeah, but you've got the faster trains down there, haven't you?
Oh, you can't get to the main line, I guess.
We'd have to go Birmingham, probably across, and then up. Like, I don't know, I've never thought about train. Train will be stupid expensive as well, wouldn't it?
I mean, yeah, maybe. It would probably, flight is way cheaper. It's just 80 quid so much more of a hassle, especially if you don't drive.
I like flying, I do.
I mean, I don't mind it. I just don't like going through the airport BS. I like getting in there and having a beer and like the actual flight itself. That's fine. But it's like when it's really crowded and you've got to go through security and you got to wait at customs or like stuff like that. It's just it's so annoying. And most of the time
I've never really had that bad an experience with it, to be fair. I must have been lucky.
Caledonian Open.
The Caledonian Open, that's the one we're signing up for.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So that'll be good.
Speaking of flying, I, on the way back from Sweden, went straight to the airport right after the tournament, really tired from playing golf for like 4 or 5 days.
Nearly missed your flight.
Nearly missed the flight. Actually not, because it ended up being delayed by like almost an hour in the airport. We get on the plane and we sat on the plane for an hour, and like the only reason was because they couldn't find the guy to fill the plane up with gas. There was one guy for the whole airport, and no one could contact him on his radio. So we just sat there waiting for that guy to like stop smoking doobies on his break and come back and refill the plane.
I was going to say, he was in his office watching dirty movies.
He could have been doing that. Could have been taking a dump. I don't know. But it was like so annoying. But anyway.
So how long were you actually delayed for? How long was the flight delayed for?
I'll say an hour and a half. I might have exaggerated on the front end of that. But about an hour and a half. So not the worst delay I've ever had.
If it's over so long, you can claim compo.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was that bad. I have had to sit on the tarmac for like 3 hours before in the plane.
Oh.
It's terrible. But anyway, that's...
I got stuck the once, my first lad's holiday to Malia when I was 18. We got delayed in the airport that side for 8 hours. Then they flew us back to Manchester, and we had to catch a coach back from Manchester instead of flying to Birmingham. And this was before the days of compo. This was just like suck it up sort of thing, this was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, anything like that after you've been traveling a while or like, you know, had a long week, it's just the worst. You end up getting through it, it's fine, but...
We'd had a long week. We had a week of drinking. I can remember 3 of the 7 nights.
Yeah, yeah.
One of those. Like your spring break. It was like your spring break.
Yeah, all you want is to be home and in bed after that.
Exactly.
Right.
Shall we move on to the news?
Yeah, we might as well. I think we've got 9 minutes left on this one.
Let's see if we can do it without having to go on to another one. Do you reckon we can?
I think we can.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the European... Oh, I don't know. Forget the intro and that, because buy your discs in the chain shop. Don't worry about adding it in this time, Josh.
All right.
Like, it. Duffy's not here. We make our own rules, don't we?
Yeah, no sponsor this week.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going on to the European Open 2023 presented by Discmania, which was where, Josh?
Nokia, Finland.
Correct. It was actually at the Mobile Phone Factory.
Yeah. Indoor disc golf.
That's an obscure reference for the older people who listen. The young kids won't have a clue who Nokia are.
I wish I knew the model number. I can't remember now.
3310.
The LS3310. Long, slim. I don't know. Anyway.
Right. MPO. Corey Ellis won, didn't
they? Dude. First elite and or major ever. Possibly one of the biggest events. Definitely one of the biggest events.
It's one of the big ones, isn't it?
Yeah. Dude had me emotional in this post-round interview.
The field was... Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was going to say the field was absolutely stacked, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was everybody that you would want to see playing disc golf, just about, I would say.
And what was he like in his interview?
Paige Pierce, obviously, but...
Oh, she's broke a leg, hasn't she?
Yeah. But yeah, we'll get
scared to play, I heard.
I would be. But yeah.
What was he like in his interview then?
He was just, you know, got emotional. Just thanking friends and family for support and just how it was a dream come true to even be playing the event and, you know, winning it. It's just incredible. So, yeah, shed some tears. But, yeah, you just, you know, such a nice guy. And he's been close to big wins a few times in the past couple of years. And he's so good. It's like it was just a matter of time. But the way it went down,
yeah.
Did you hear about what happened to Barella?
No, I didn't hear what happened.
I think he took a 9 on 16. You know, the island hole that if you don't get it on, you have to re-throw?
Yeah.
But it's not. There's not a stroke penalty. You just count the throws, however many times it takes you to get on. And
there's no penalty.
No. It's called bunker rules. So you throw, and if it doesn't land on the island, you have to keep throwing until it actually does land on the island. But they're nice that they don't give you the penalty stroke. So after the drive, most people will go for the green, which is kind of far, but it's like spike hyzer range. He was just a bit out of position on his drive and had to throw a forehand, and the dude can throw a mile. And it was like the last 3 holes of the event, he was up by 1 or 2, I think 1, and he missed the island, I think 6 or 7 times in a row.
Oh.
He just kept going. Just 10 cupped it.
Different discs, or
I would assume at some point they would have a different mold, but he might have had a couple of, like, you know, forces or something to begin with, but
he wasn't able to say, "Can I go collect that once to use again?"
You're not allowed to.
Oh.
So yeah, it was pretty brutal, pretty painful to watch, to be honest with you. It kind of made me sick. That happened on that hole so many times to different players throughout the weekend, and every year of the European Open it happens. It's just...
He has a habit of getting close, so doesn't he, and not quite.
Here's the crazy thing, is I was watching it live, and Philo was, you know, doing commentary, and like on hole 14 or 15, He goes, "All right, well, I'm really proud of Anthony. You know, he hasn't bottled it like he usually does." Like, and I told Blair, Blair was sitting in the room not paying any attention to disc golf, but I was just like, he's just cursed that man. I was like, the tournament's not over. You've got six, hole 16's coming up, the killer of dreams. And like, he's just said this on coverage out loud. And then you just knew something was going to happen. And sure enough, it did. So thanks, Philo. But Paul, Paul Macbeth was on the bag for Anthony Barella.
Oh, wait, because he struggled, didn't he?
He DNF'd with a shoulder injury for the third round. And just,
oh, did it?
Or the fourth round, the final round. So he went and got on the bag for Anthony Barella, who's, you know, Team Discraft. And I think Barella used to, like, caddy for Paul back when he was a kid, a long time ago. Nice. So it's kind of like full circle. So I'm sure that was... I don't know if Paul said anything to him in that 10 cup moment. I don't think he did, actually, but I think at that point, you just got to keep going for the island. Because after you've missed it twice, are you really going to lay up to the shorter section and then try again from there? Like, you've already wasted those strokes. What do you do?
Exactly.
And you were in the lead.
I don't know.
You're trying to be like dominant.
They call that, though, the commentator's curse.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if he's realized it. Philo, that is. I'm sure he's probably said, "Oh no, what did I do?" But yeah, so funny.
But yes, so Corey won, Kyle Klein came second, Eagle third.
Eagle just about, we thought he was going to win.
Well, he got joint third with Calvin. What did he do wrong?
I can talk about this tournament a long time, but I won't do it because people will watch it and see. But it was crazy. A lot of lead changes, a lot of storylines. It was probably the most one of the better tournaments I've seen in a while.
That's good then. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
FPO, I'm guessing not quite as interesting.
No. I mean, still cool just for the sport that we've got a female player playing at this level. And so that's pretty fun. But yeah, as far as the competition, it was basically down to second place between like Katrina, Henna, and Missy, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, what can you say? What can you say we haven't already said? She's the best. Who's going to test her?
Is she better than Paige Pierce?
Yeah.
When Paige Pierce was dominating?
I think so.
Are you ready to say that? Oh, I need to have a look at how much she has won this year, because has she won every tournament she's been in? No, she hasn't, has she?
I don't know, but this was her Grand Slam. She got the Grand Slam with this one. In the shortest time of any player.
She's dominant. Like, she's absolutely dominant, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, no one's going to do it. No one's going to do it.
Yeah. Rachel came 15th.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't think from what I've read, she wasn't quite happy with how she played. She's playing in a major, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's one of those people, it'll never be good enough, and that's why she's so good and will continue to get better. She probably would say that she left some strokes out there. But to have a relatively what you think is a bad weekend and still be in the top 20 at the European Open, it's pretty good.
It's not bad going, is it? No. It's not bad going at all.
I'd take it.
She did really well. She did really well. So, yeah, so that was good. Watch the European... The European Open, that's the one.
Yeah.
And just check it out. I'm not a disc golf fan. I don't really watch the pro stuff. I just enjoy playing. But I'm actually going to watch it, like, just see what happened.
You could just watch the final round if you really wanted
to. That's what I'm going to.
Yeah.
I like to revel in people's meltdowns. Is that a horrible thing to say?
Oh, man. Well, you're in for a treat.
Can't wait. It's not going to be on post-production Philo's comments, is it?
Probably not, but you can go back and watch the live one. I think that comes out on YouTube as well, so it's like 3 or 4 hours long, but you can find the moment he says it. It's got to be like whole 13 or 14. Like, way too early to be saying stuff like that.
You know how easily I'll find it, because it'll be the most replayed segment of the
whole thing. It could be. It might be. It might be.
So, yeah. Let's move on to the Essex Open. We'll go through the results. So, MPO was won by Ben Holding. Good to see him get a win. He's a real tasty player, isn't he?
It didn't look like anyone was that close, but he played well.
He did play well. Well, he was the only one all weekend to go under on the course. So that maybe tells you how hard it was. Now, don't want to sound horrible, wasn't the strongest MPO field we've ever seen. But to be the only, you'd expect some of the MA1 boys to potentially drop in.
Yeah, under par.
Yeah, and he was the only person in the whole tournament who was under par, so well done to him. Ben March in second, Jeremy Howard in third. MA1 was won by Michael Sharkey. Keeps winning too much, but well played to him. Shout out to Bubba, to be fair, because he came second. He's been really working on his game, hasn't he?
Yeah, man. He's killing it right now.
He's doing really well. Was he in MA2 last year?
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, he stepped it up a lot. He had a real good like tournament, so he did well. And Sam Passard in third place in MA1. So, well done to them. FA1 was won by Elva Kate Preston, with Catherine Lee Williams in second. MA40 was won by Adam Keane. Now, I played with Adam in the first
round. Sorry, is Elva the best FA1 player in the country?
There are some good FA1 players. You've got Natalie Ekin as well, haven't you?
I know, and you know they're both friends, but I feel like Elva's won just about everything this year.
Are you trying to stir the pot? I know. I think Natalie won at. Did Natalie win at QP?
Yep, she did. She did.
So yeah.
I mean, it's. I think they're frenemies. They're good friends. They always make it a good battle. I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm just recognizing some good play from Elva. That's all.
Yeah, she is a really good player, so yeah. But they're all really good in FA1, to be fair. They're all pretty damn good.
Yeah, no arguments there.
Yeah, MA40 was won by Adam Keane. I played my first round with him. Real nice lad. Calm. Like, real good influence on the card. Like, real nice bloke.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He throws it very far.
I do have to say... Oh, and you know what? He doesn't even look like he's throwing it far.
He's the world champion distance thrower for MA50.
He is, yes.
World champ distance.
That's a good claim to fame, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But Josh, he doesn't look like he puts any effort in. He's so smooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he's got the form down. He's not the like the biggest guy, but he's big enough to move the disc.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I have to put a little more into it than he does to get that same distance.
He's just so fluid and nice and, like, just comes through so nice.
You know, when he was first starting out, he took lessons from a really good local pro down in Croydon.
Was that you?
I'm just saying. I don't know.
And now what would you say? The student is greater than the mentor.
Hit me up. Hit me up for lessons. JoshBirminghamDiscGolf.com today. $29.99 four lesson package.
What about the T's and C's?
T's and C's, yeah, it's all in small print. You gotta read it.
You gotta say it dead quick though, Josh.
May cause bleeding or no. no. Anyway, well done to Adam beating up on the young guns in the MA-40 when he's actually about to be 50 years old or is 50 years old.
So yeah, I have to say I feel really bad for Derek. Derek was leading. He's a real nice bloke. He was leading through all three rounds. And I went up to see him before the finals, before I was about to head off, and he was just lying with his head in his hands. And I was like, or sitting down, I'm like, are you all right, Derek? He soldiered on through a migraine in the finals. So, I don't want to throw shade. Did that affect his final round? He did.
Dropped seven strokes to Keane.
He dropped seven strokes. So, you have to feel bad for that, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just, what can you do?
You can't do anything, can you?
And it doesn't, not taking away from his pain, but it doesn't do any good moaning about it either, does it? It's just what happened.
He didn't moan about it.
That's what you said off camera. You said this guy was moaning the whole time.
No, I didn't. Do you know what I said? I went up and said, how's it going, Derek? All happy and that. He's like, I've got a migraine. I said, Derek, do well in the finals. I'm going to leave you alone because the last thing you want is me talking in your ear when you've got a migraine. So, and then well done to Paul Cooper for coming third. MA50 was won by Duncan Evans with Kevin Allen Walker in second. Well done to Paul Turnbull, who took joint third with Andrew Isles. So, well done. MA2 was won by Julius Verbicus, with Jack Smith in second.
Julius's first team time in the chain. First time MA2?
First time in MA2, and he took the win. Yeah, I know. He beat Matt as well. Matt Lee, wow, in third.
Wow.
I thought Jack was going to win that because he was close.
Yeah, he played really well. He was ahead first round, I think.
Yeah, and Matt, I thought Matt had a good chance as well. Matt had a smoking hot third round as well, but just unfortunately lost it in the finals. Amanda Humphreys in FA2, well done.
Nice.
And then in MA3, now I'm not going to get a name wrong. Everyone thinks it's Kieran Buckley, but it's Kieran.
Kieran.
It's a Kieran Buckley.
Like the Quran.
Sort of, but Irish. And real nice lad. Played with him in the first round. I've met him before at Quarry Park, and he's a real nice lad.
Yeah.
Like good player. Got a big arm. Yeah, he's a good player, yeah. And real nice lad. Like, I'd see him in the second and third round. He's like, how's it going? How are you getting on? Like, real top lad. So, yeah. Ty Walker, copying his dad, coming second in the division he was playing in. So, well done to him. He's got a big arm on him as well. Do you know Ty Walker?
Yeah.
He's got a big arm on him.
Ty caddied for me at Mistral or Cyclone. No, Mistral.
Is he from your neck of the woods then?
No, but, you know, the Walkers get around to events pretty regular.
Yeah, good pair of lads, aren't they?
Yeah, I like them. Alexej
Smirnovs, I'm going to say, in third. So, well done to him. Special mention to Tom Bowen in ninth. So he did really well.
Oh, well done.
Played 60 above his rating.
60?
What? I played 60 above my rating.
That's incredible.
Can you believe that?
Out of your skin.
Tilt rollers.
Look, if there's one takeaway from that is everyone needs a tilt roller.
The amount of people I've converted to the tilt over the weekend, Josh, is unreal. Everyone's like, I need to get one of them. I'm like, they're out of production now.
Yeah.
If only I still had 14 of the fuckers.
Yeah, it's one of those discs. in the back of my mind, I always think, you need one of those. But it's only like once every 6 rounds when I'm in this weird place where I want to get super aggressive on like a patent pending. I need like a massive S curve to avoid trees. And if you ever mess it up, it's not going to be nice. But you think in that moment, if I had a tilt, I could pull this off.
What do you think to the Zone OS? Because that's like a mini tilt, isn't it?
Yeah, but because I guess a lot of times you're throwing it on short approaches, it doesn't act as stable sometimes as I would expect it to. Maybe because I'm not throwing it hard enough and it doesn't even want to glide. It just falls out of the sky, which is nice. But if you do put some beans on it, that's when you get the full flex fade and everything.
Have you found it useful? Is it in the bag?
It's in the bag because I'm just kind of throwing it here and there to test it out. First thoughts on it, testing it, I was like, I don't really need this. But then it was really windy on Sunday in Croydon, and I used it on a couple of approaches, and it was just like a mindless, just slam it, you know, left of the basket, and you know it's going to just scoot under it. So it works really good for stuff like that. I just worry, there's like, what am I trying to say? My moral compass it just feels weird. I feel like you shouldn't have discs that stable in your bag because you need a little bit of touch in the game to be respectful.
Yeah.
But if it works, you can't really argue with it.
Exactly. I found it quite skippy. Have you found that?
Maybe because of the big edge, but nothing skips in Croydon, so. And I haven't thrown it that much, but I can imagine it would on the right surface.
But then I am comparing that to a Berg or an Interceptor, which don't skip at all, so. Yeah.
Anyway, do you like it?
It's not one I use a lot.
Yeah.
But it does go, if you throw it quite, like you say, if you throw it quite softly, it will dump out.
Yeah.
It will, well, I found it dumped out a lot. And I used it to get round a corner, and I got a bit of skip action and put it right under the basket on what is now hole one at Essex. It's, you know where the sports centre is at Essex?
Yes.
That's where the course starts, and that makes sense now because you are right there, basically.
Yeah.
And it's a downhill shot, and it curls round to the right. And I didn't hit it great any of the rounds, but not badly. And I threw it, and it ended up right, and I had to skip round right. So I just threw it on like a hyzer forehand. And it skipped nicely.
Yeah.
It's definitely a disc that it's not going to be thrown every shot, every approach shot, but it has its place. Do you know what I mean?
Like, if I know the wind's going to be up, it'll be in the bag.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Cheers to you guys for having one.
That's all right. They're quite hard to come by, I think. I think they're going to be more prevalent now, but there aren't many of them around.
Yeah, it feels similar to the tilt, like you're saying, where it's just most people aren't going to feel the need to get one. But I don't think it's a gimmick disc. I think the tilt, I mean, the way you use it is, I think, pretty rare or unique. And you get good things out of it, but I don't think most people are using it for that kind of shot. And I don't think as many people are using them. I think more people will use the Zone OS than the tilt.
I agree. I definitely agree. Going on to that tilt roller, shall I explain the psyche behind it?
Yes.
It felt like...
I've seen it at Fairways, that video we shot on hole 13.
Yeah.
We had the lunch bet. And it just goes straight. It's the craziest looking thing.
It's my most dependable shot.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You expect like a disc on a roller angle to go to the top or start fading to the right, and it just doesn't do anything.
It doesn't. It, and if I can guarantee that straight every time, I mean, it might roll out at the end. Why wouldn't I use it? That's how I see it.
Does it roll out to the right more often? Or does it want to land on its top? Yes.
It does roll out to the right more often. But only at the very end. Yeah. Only at the very end.
Yeah. Because most roller discs will roll out to the left and land on their top. Because you usually throw something less stable for a roller. But you're going the opposite, and so it would finish right on a roller angle, which is just nuts.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And but that, and also, I threw, like, on the first round, I didn't feel like my shoulder had it after the first round. I threw some big thumbers in the air over trees, and everyone was like, why have you done that? And I said, because, especially the one hole, the canopy was low, and it was downhill, but then there was a hump. So you might only have a couple of feet to get that perfect. Whereas I know if I, although it's a big arm over the top, I know if I get it over the top, I've got clear space then.
Yeah, and you're almost kind of guaranteeing where you want to hit, in a way. Because once it hits the trees, it's just going to stop and just drop.
Yeah, well, I got it over the trees and ended up in the fairway.
Oh, granted, I see. I don't know the holes you're talking about, but okay.
Yeah. Granted, if I'd have pured a forehand or a backhand, I would have got further down. I could have been closer to the basket. But like, especially in tournament play, I don't mind most holes. I throw my first shot. I have a good approach second shot, a par the third shot. And that's how confident I was feeling. My touch was there for my approach shot. So I was leaving myself with a 12 or 15 footer, maybe even an 18 or even a 20 footer. And because I was confident with my putting, I was making the putts. And that is all it takes. Like, part of me, I don't want to sound like I'm blowing my own trumpet because I was shit. I know I'm shit. I'm in the worst division. But I actually felt like I was a disc golfer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I actually felt for once I was a disc golfer and I wasn't a joke.
Well,
like, let's have a look. 1, 2. I didn't score any birdies, which was unfortunate.
You've kind of been on the up and up as of late, I guess, over the summer.
Yeah, and I don't know what, because I'm not playing loads, but on the third round, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pars I scored, which isn't bad for me. On the first round, my second round was a bit of an anomaly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pars, and I wasn't making massive triples, fours. So if I'm picking up like 8 pars and 5 bogeys, or 6 or 7 or 8 bogeys, if I get a couple of doubles, it doesn't really matter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
for my level.
It's a solid game plan to just take the drama and the stress out of it. Yeah. Leave yourself in the fairway and let those other guys scramble out and get, you know, frustrated.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like Josh Birmingham standard where I'm aiming to birdie as many as I can. Ooh,
look, no, I've taken a big hit in the rating. I'm not a big dog anymore. Those days are over.
I think you're a big dog.
So, just moving on, we have the British team's disc golf playoffs are starting.
Yeah.
And Croydon has a team. Well, we're a wild card spot. So I think we get to play possibly... Oh, wild card, you're just in the playoffs. It's not like a playoff to get in the playoff. So we're in the playoffs, basically. And I'm playing at Fairways, 11:30 on Sunday. Against... I don't remember.
Are you looking for... what spectators? Is that what you're doing now? Call for spectators.
No, I'm just letting the world know, because the whole world listens, that British teams disc golf playoffs are starting. It's very exciting, and that's all I have to live for now. Because I'm not very good anymore.
Have you got no more tournaments?
I've got Team GB in Estonia in August, and then Champs in Croydon first weekend of October. That's it.
So you're going to Estonia?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, second time going to Estonia. The course map has just been released. It looks ridiculously hard. Seppo Paju has designed it. And it,
is it a temporary course?
Yeah, temporary course in the middle of Tallinn, which is the capital, on this like festival grounds with a big amphitheater as like part of the course.
Don't get lost in Tallinn on a night out. It's meant to be a good night out.
It is a good night out. Yeah. I almost missed my flight coming back from the last team's event there because I stayed out too long.
Who's on the team? Who's on the team then?
It's me, Joe O'Brien, Noah Smithson, Chris Smith from Scotland, Ben Holdings playing juniors, Rachel Turton, Elva Preston, might be leaving some people out, I'm not quite sure. And then you have the Masters, but they're going to Hungary, I think, on a different weekend. So, I won't say that team because I don't know who all's on it. But Ian McDougall's on there.
Now I'm full of confidence. If you have anyone drop out last minute, give me a shout.
Yeah? I mean, the course sets up good for tilt rollers. A lot of OB.
Does it?
A lot of OB. So if you just keep it in the middle, you'll probably fare pretty well.
I'm up for that. I'm up for that. If you need someone to...
I'm the captain. I can just sub you in whenever I feel like it.
Sub me right in if you need me. Last minute, I can make it.
Yeah, just keep your diary open mid-August.
What week? What are the dates?
It's 16th through the 20th, 15th through the 20th, something like that.
I'll go on holiday with my daughter on the 18th. She can go on her own.
Yeah, yeah.
If needed. She's,
how old is she now? 10? She's good.
12. She can fend for herself. 12, she can figure out.
Yeah.
She can figure out a way to Devon and I'll meet up with her after the 20th.
Instagram has raised her. She knows what to do in the world.
She's not allowed Instagram yet.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
All right. Well,
unfortunately,
shall we?
I'll have to rule myself out of that.
Yeah. I can't. I got to get off my phone. Anyway.
Should we leave it there?
I think so. What?
I forgot to say, what did you reaction to the woman on the plane video?
It's somewhat unsettling, if I'm being honest. It's like, it's either she's having a really terrible time in her own brain, which is unsettling for her and me.
Yes.
I don't wish that upon anyone. Or.
Exactly.
Or. There's some weird stuff going on in this world, which we know there is. We just don't know what it is. And maybe just someone slipped up and let their guard down and gave themselves up for a second.
Could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. Or a being of some sort. I mean, there's more and more UFO stuff coming out every day. And like, you know, U.S. Air Force guys coming out and saying weird stuff and... You got to think, some of that's credible information. Those are, you know, top-tier brains and guys. So.
But there is something that lets them down. They're American.
I know. Why does everything happen in Mexico? Or New Mexico, excuse me. It's like we want the attention.
Exactly. But as we've already established, America's the center of the world.
Yeah, well, that's... That could be why the aliens love us so much.
Exactly.
Right.
On that note, shall we end the show?
I've got nothing. I'd say just remember to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
That video scared me. Aliens. You've seen Signs? It's not good.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.